Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Coins Plus is the name you can trust in this industry. We buy and sell precious metals, always have, always will. Gold and silver and lots of it. The markets have been nice and healthy and robust heading into what is typically the strong time of the year. We're moving into new territory, I believe. Very positive, strong territory. This has been the strongest year in metals for a number of years. We specialize in rare coins, collectible coins, investment quality material. That's our real specialty, is building quality, top quality portfolios to help you preserve and protect your wealth, capital, money, whatever you want to call it. Problem is, people think that their Federal Reserve notes are money. They are not money. You are literally carrying in your pocket, if you have cash or a check or whatever, you're carrying a promise from a private bank that is a for-profit organization. Their number one goal is to make money off of you. Their number two goal, or number one A, is to fleece you of your wealth through inflation. That's how they confiscate wealth. If you think about it, inflation has absolutely destroyed spending power of money over time. It puts people in a terribly awkward position because your money has got to grow for you to break even. If you want to maintain spending power, you've got your money better be growing. It better be growing relative to the inflation rate. And good luck with that, because, it's tough to keep up with, frankly. Candidly, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to keep up with the inflation rate. And you never really even know for sure what it is. That's kind of the scandal of all, is who really knows what inflation rate is. And when you get the CPI index, which is the consumer price index that's supposed to be calculating interest rates for you or inflation rates, it is an artificial index. And by that I mean they have excluded very critical items that affect your cost of living on a day-to-day basis. Our consumer price index now excludes, as an exclusionary index, it excludes food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. This is ultimately what, as they say, it is what the average American spends 85% of their disposable income on. So when they calculate inflation, they just conveniently don't count the things that affect you on a day-to-day basis. I mean, why would they, right? You wouldn't want to know actually what your money's worth or whether it's being consumed or not. I mean, why would you need to know that? You just live with their pretty little numbers and say everything's fine. And literally in America, let's face it, you do work your whole life to die broke. And there's so many concepts that we accept as civil norms now. And don't take me wrong, I'm a constitutionalist. I'm not encouraging any kind of illegal behavior. But frankly, our tax system is extremely unconstitutional. The argument back at that is, hey, look, that's old news. Get over it. The 16th Amendment changed all that. We put in a 16th Amendment to override the constitutional limitation on direct taxation, which is the government's ability to tax you for your God-given ability and right to earn an income. Okay? Now, think about that for a second. There was a generation, well, there was a long line of men and women, people, that believed an income tax was nothing more than slavery. And if you really think about it, if you come from the perspective where you do not have a tax, you can see the logic. If they say, you're a man, aka human, and you have the ability to earn an income, when you earn that income, we're taking your money from you. Folks, so much of this is driven by communism at such an extreme level. It's my intent today to do a good show on communism. All of these philosophies have been adopted by our society and readily accepted without any pause. We just accept it the way it is. They call it baseline or normative thinking. What that means is you accept things the way they are as normal. Believe it or not, there are people starving to death right now in North Korea, sick with unbelievable forms of bacteria illnesses in their stomachs, emaciated, literally eating insects and grass clippings. I'm not exaggerating. This represents the mass majority of the population in North Korea. It's terrible. They are not allowed to have any communication. They're not allowed phones. They're not allowed TVs. Now, they're starting to allow some phones, but everything is government controlled. It's true fascism. They monitor everything. They limit calls coming in and going out. Television is all state-sponsored, so people have to watch what they're given to watch, and that's that. My point is simple. To them, and this will kind of, the concept doesn't, is bizarre, but to them, that's normative. That's normal. That's baseline. They think that's the way life's meant to be. They also are beginning to get access to YouTube and other things so that they can find out more about the world around them. They're finding out more about South Korea, you know, and America and so on. But it's normative thinking. So as extreme as that looks to you, you too have chosen to live with normative thinking. You've accepted everything. Well, that's an extreme. You've accepted a lot of things in life and society as normal. There's a lot of things you look at that may have changed during your lifetime. And oh, trust me, things are changing. But there's a lot of those things you may see and say, wow, these are wacky times. These are crazy times. These are scary times. These are bizarre times. These are the things I hear from people all the time. We live in interesting times, they say. I hear this from so many people. I mean, so many. And maybe it does have something to do with the fact that they know who I am. I'm the loud voice on the radio preaching, save America, do the right thing, you know, praise God, lift up your voice. But I've had, but maybe because of that, people talk to me about what's going on. But I'm telling you, folks, spiritually, you know, animals have very awkward behavior before a storm hits, long before anything else, or I'm sorry, long before there's any other indication, even before there's a deep drop in barometric pressure, animals know. I believe that we have the same instincts that we need to hone and train. And I'll tell you, there's many impressive things with the human race. I mean, just as far as intuitive instincts go, there are guys who I've watched, for example, if you knew what nunchucks were, or nunchakas, the proper term, that's where you have two, like, 18-inch sticks connected by a chain in the middle. It's an old Japanese weapon, very lethal when handled properly, very worthless when handled improperly by the wrong person. You can imagine if you have a dowel an inch wide and say, like, maybe 18 inches is too long, maybe 14 to 16 inches, connected to another 14 to 16-inch dowel by a chain, you grab one and you use the other for momentum. You back and forth, you spin it, you throw it. They get where they're behind their back and between their legs and around their neck and around their arms, under their armpits. You know, I mean, lightning fast, just lightning fast. But because that second piece is free-floating on a chain of all things, accuracy, specific pinpoint accuracy, becomes impossible. For those of you who've ever watched on YouTube Bruce Lee playing ping pong, he completely destroys the theory that surgical accuracy is impossible. He literally plays ping pong with a ping pong champion with his nunchucks. The other guy's got the paddle, he's got his nunchucks. He beats the other guy. He never misses the ball. He absolutely blows your mind what he does. And he said it was an instinct. He didn't see the ball. He felt the ball. There's another guy I watched recently with a katana, a great big sword, big old samurai sword in a sheath on his waist. They literally shoot bullets, plastic bullets, at 1,200 feet per second with him standing, I don't know, from the maybe 30, 40 feet away, not barely, at the most. And every one of those plastic bullets, which, by the way, are so small, if you had it on a counter, you couldn't cut it with a knife. He's so fast with this katana sword that he, you know, the gun goes off. He pulls the sword and slashes through these plastic bullets at lightning speed when they're going 1,200 feet per second. He says he doesn't see the bullets. He feels the bullets. Or what other object he has coming at him. There's many other instances like this where people of this caliber have tapped into some third eye. And don't take me wrong, I'm not getting into chakra and Buddhism and all this. But we are spiritual beings. We're physical beings. We're a spiritual being inside of a physical body. And we have a spiritual realm, a spiritual connection. And we can develop that. In a way, it's called discernment. The problem is people get into this life force thing and they start to worship the creation, okay? I mean, I can get all technical on you about the force of life in our atmosphere, in our everyday living. What about static electricity in the air and so on? There's energy in the air only because it's the way God made the system, not because it's some ooey-gooey wild thing. Animals have those instincts. I watched a movie the other night about called Megan Levy, the story of that girl that had, she was in Iraq, I believe, and she was, you know, she was in the Marines. She was kind of a troubled girl, had some tough times, decided to join the Marines through a series of events, basically as punishment. She became a dog handler. She got this dog named Rex, the biggest, meanest, most aggressive German Shepherd ever. People had a heck of a time working with him. He was aggressive. He bit his handlers. Of course, she had this sixth sense, and she connected with this dog magnificently. But what I was getting at is they were at one time, you know, he was sniffing out bombs, and they had a situation where an IUD or IUD, IED, how about that, was buried so deep in the ground it was indetectable. And some guys in a house detonated the bomb with a remote device while she and her dog were near it. They got blown up, knocked away, you know, bad deal. She got a Purple Heart. They came back to the U.S. The dog had his bell rung really bad. They forced the dog to go back out on duty, even though it wasn't, you know, right. And eventually the dog was retired because he'd had his bell rung so bad. And Megan Levy was able to adopt him through a long, hard series of events. Not easy to adopt a warrior dog. My point is, when they, after they'd been blown up, I mean blown up, got up, you know, knocked out cold, get up, the dog's, you know, down on its side, can't get up, they get up, they go on for this mission, they keep going, they get on top of this house in kind of a deck area, and this dog freaks. Megan can't hold him back, and they think, here we go, the dog's losing it. The dog appears to be hostile towards one of the other Marines, and it just becomes very aggressive, and they don't know what to do. They're, of course, scolding it and so on. And what happens is then they suddenly realize, you know, 100 yards away, there's enemy combatants shooting an RPG at him. So the dog, as the RPG is in the air and fire's coming, this dog grabs this other Marine by the backpack, yanks him down to the ground. Where the dog was at, the dog couldn't even see the enemy fire and so on. It was just an instinct. I don't know what they smell or feel in the air. Maybe they were downwind from adrenaline. I don't know, but the dog knew how to do this. And it saved lives and, you know, so on and so forth. There's another story that was on YouTube a couple years ago. A lady had gone to the pound and picked up a dog, which was a Doberman. By the way, if you want a dog, go to the pound. I mean, do everything you can not to bring another one in the world. They're putting them to sleep every day. I'm a humongous animal lover. I absolutely adore dogs, love them, have three golden retrievers, and they're absolutely my babies, my little guys. And so anyway, this gal had just picked up this dog from the pound. They lived out by a field. This mother is looking out the window, and she sees this Doberman Pinscher grabbing her 3 or 4 year old by the shirt, shaking this young child violently, attacking the child, it appears, really going to town on this child, shaking the child and dragging it. The mother, of course, freaks out, runs out, starts screaming and yelling at the dog, you know, subconsciously decides this dog's not going to work. She's going to kill my daughter. And then the woman, the mother, discovers a rattlesnake. This dog knew immediately to grab that child as soon as it saw the rattlesnake and shake that child. Why would you shake a child around a rattlesnake? Because it's a heck of a lot harder to hit a moving target than it is a stationary one. So as that dog shook that child, and it was also pulling her back away from the snake. Now, you hear a story like that, you go, isn't that neat? Well, here's the problem. From a window vantage point, the mother saw this dog attacking her daughter. Had she not gone out and seen this rattlesnake, she would have assumed the dog was attacking her daughter, and she said she would have had him put down. And so, you know, things aren't always as they appear, etc. If you have a dog that seems misbehaved, and I'm not going to spend time on this, but I love dogs. If you have a dog that's just outright misbehaved, I promise you, the reason dog whisperers do so well is because they're so gentle and kind and loving and peaceable to the animal. they're not harsh and mean and yelling, and that's one thing they run into with these military handlers is they're scolding and yelling all the time. They do not understand that animals, dogs especially, want to please you. They want to please you. Everything has to be positive praise all the time. Treat the animal with respect. The Bible's very clear that a righteous man cares for his animals, and a wicked man is cruel to his animals. You, if you have a dog, you need to be, you know, kind to that animal. I mean, honestly, it's God's creation. It's a mammal. I know from experience they have instincts, intelligence, all kinds of stuff. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. But just for me, if you have an animal, a dog, please take good care of that thing. It's so important to me. I really think we need to do that more and, you know, find stupid, awkward reasons to kill them less. I'm not the biggest fan of hunting. I grew up hunting, but there's guys who cannot get enough. And it gets to a point of radical extremes, which to me becomes an absolute disrespect for life. They would say, oh, no, I respect life. Come and look at my big game room. I respect life so much I have a room full of stuffed animals. Great, you know. I see all kinds of animals in captivity. And trust me, folks, I'm as conservative as they come. But Christ told some great parables about the master leaving the servant in charge of the vineyard with direct correlation to our responsibility over the domain of earth. We have responsibility, and then we get where we waste everything and, you know, et cetera. So all I'm saying is to raise a good dog, be very positive. Just try it. Assume the dog wants to please you. If they're acting crazy because you've raised them wrong, they don't know. Praise them, praise them, praise them. It's the same with us in a way. I, although, have seen certain employees, one in particular I had for a very long time, he would respond to praise with literal out-of-control giddiness. You don't want to be that way. You want to be sober-minded and under control at all times. And along that same note, realize you once you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. It doesn't come and go as some denominations believe. The Bible's very clear that the Holy Spirit dwells within us once we accept him. So we are spiritual beings for certain. And then as far as, you know, that goes, basically, I mean, y'all know the scripture that a wise man or a kind man or a righteous man is, you know, kind to his animals, and a wicked man is not. So, that's a little touch of that. Let me bounce through some quick kind of notes and update stuff, and then I'll try to get to the communism stuff. Well, you know what? Let me see if anything's impassable here. We've got all the, guess what? Trump stuff again. Trump, you know, we've got DACA, the Dreamers Act, kids that were brought here by their parents, quote unquote, unwillingly. They only immigrated because their parents did, or illegally. That's the new magic term to just call them regular old-fashioned immigrants. And if you're against them, you're against the American dream, right? Isn't that the new gig? So no. So Trump could have shut it down legally. Constitutionally, it's wrong. I do believe that Trump has a very good heart. It appears that he does. It also appears that he's learning how to work with Congress and the Senate. He's becoming better at politics. The media just rips him apart. He's helping a guy load his truck in a construction site. And, of course, they have to mock Donald Trump. You know, he could never possibly understand a pickup truck, even though he spent his whole life on construction sites. I'm going to say I think he's a good man. I've met a number of people now firsthand that know him. Some billionaires I've met and, you know, other people of that caliber. But, you know, they just, I don't know. So, let's go on here, folks. Let us talk about the DACA plan real quick. Trump passed it on to Congress. They have the right of legislation. He does not. He's the enforcer of immigration and the borders. Congress passes the laws. Immigration, illegal immigration is illegal. And the biggest problem you get from the left is they refer to illegal immigrants as immigrants. They're not. They're illegal, okay? And I like when they say, well, they get people in this country and they obey the laws. They're law-abiding citizens. They weren't law-abiding when they came in the country. The problem is they always use false flags, straw man arguments. They get these perfect little families, you know. We've got this big Hurricane Harvey or whatever, and they show this illegal immigrant family that says, oh, my gosh, we've just been devastated by Hurricane Harvey, and now we have to worry about DACA and illegal immigration, and we're under so much fire, and the left share and all these crazies go wild about how terribly communistic and Naziistic Trump is and what a terrible man he is, and they just utterly want to destroy him. And it's inaccurate information. It's fake news. It's sad. Trump's staying out of the limelight. They literally want to stomp on him like an insect. And it is sad. You have a man of character and poise. As I was speaking a minute ago, I know three people that know him on a very, very strong first name basis from long-term business dealings. Never a raw deal. Always kept his word. Hillary found some architect that claimed to not be paid by him. And who even knows if that's real? I mean, there's so much stuff going on now. There's so many false flag events. I've talked about Charlottesville, where they had the skinheads or white supremacists or KKK or whatever they are. All three of them come piling out of the exact same buses as Black Lives Matter. And that really makes you think. What's going on there? Who's behind it? And it appears to me that, well, all indications are that George Soros is behind it. They're creating all these false flag events. So everything I'm covering is on this ridiculously in-depth notes sheet that I created on communism, which I should be reading. So here we go. So let's talk. In 1848, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote a book outlining a political ideology called the Communist Manifesto. Okay? Marxism's basic theme, Karl Marx, is that the proletariat, or the exploited working class of a capitalistic society, will suffer from alienation and will rise up against the bourgeoisie, which is the middle class. That's probably most of you listening out there, I would hope, and overthrow the system of capitalism. That is the thought process. Now, middle class Americans, in the old terms, are considered bourgeoisie. So they believe that the exploited class is going to get mad and they're going to take over the middle class, the working class, the productive members of society, the solid men and women of this great nation, or whatever, wherever it may be. Okay? They think that they're going to suffer. They think that there's going to be, well, they're going to overthrow capitalism. I'm sorry, I'll get my momentum here. So they believe that there's going to be, in communism, that there will be a brief period of rule by, quote, the dictatorship of the proletariat. This is snag number one. So they say for communism to work, first, there, you know, of course, during an overthrow, you have to put a totalitarian dictatorship in first, right? A radical leader. And then, of course, as everybody settles down and shares their utopian fantasies and says, what a wonderful opportunity we have here. We can all be equal and no one will ever be rich again. And we don't have to deal with those filthy, rotten, productive members of society. So, you know, you've got the dictatorship, the classless. So it says, the rule by the dictatorship of the proletariat, the classless society of communism will automatically emerge. I mean, just pure foolishness. The reason I'm dwelling on this, folks, is because this is how dumb it really is. In the manifesto, Marx described the following 10 steps as necessary steps to be taken to destroy a free enterprise society. Capitalism is bad. And I want you to notice, I'm going to get to them here as quick as I can. These conditions, which are foreign to the principles our country was founded on, are now being realized by the concerted efforts of socialist activists. Now, this, a lot of my stuff I was digging up was written in the 50s, okay? So many of these principles that we've been founded on are being cast aside. So now you got to remember the government interference in your daily life and business is intrusion and deprivation of our liberties. And you've got to realize the government's becoming more and more involved. They're accustoming you. They're conditioning you with the TSA at the airport and police officers gaining more and more authority, becoming much more militaristic. How about that? It's a lot less personal. So they're conditioning us to this. Kids in schools, they teach them respect uniforms no matter what. Don't question a uniform. Obey a uniform. A uniform's an expert. There have been kidnappings out of schools that do not allow anyone in but through a high security system. There have been kidnappings just because somebody puts on a uniform, walks in the door, grabs a child that's not theirs, walks out because they have on a uniform. We're becoming more and more this way. The theory of the communists, they say, can be summed up in one single phrase. Now, I'm reading from communists. They say the theory of communism can be summed up in the phrase abolition of private property. If you don't have private property, you got nothing, folks. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was life, liberty, and the ownership of property. They changed it at the last minute because they didn't want to offend the slaves. Just like the fact that the First Amendment that says Congress shall make no law, prohibiting free speech and your religious exercise thereof and whatnot and what for, and, the First Amendment. But basically, the First Amendment originally had in it denomination, not religion. And that's the point. It was always meant to be Christian by nature. Not any religion. They finally put that in there to honor and respect those religions that hadn't quite infiltrated our country. In bourgeoisie society, think about this. In communism, the past dominates the future. Well, in bourgeoisie society, that's your and my society, capitalistic society, the past dominates the present. In communist society, the present dominates the past. So think about, what do I mean by that? In capitalism, the past dominates the present. So that means our founding fathers, everything we stand for, tradition, right? Conservatism. And what does liberalism mean? Change, right? So liberalism is, no, they want the present over supersedes the past. So in bourgeoisie society, capital, money, earnings, wealth is independent and has individuality. In a communist society, everyone and everything is dependent and no one has any individuality. Why in the world would that appeal to anyone, for goodness sakes? That is so far from the way God created us, folks. Isn't that sad to just absolutely say, you know, we're all the same, we're all equal? It breeds mediocrity. That's one problem. It doesn't breed excellence at all. We all have very unique traits. So many of us think that everything's random. We think, you know, you're just, you look at it and you go, okay, here's the logic. We know that God places the soul in the body. But we can argue, you know, when we say we're fearfully and wonderfully made, yeah, right, you say, look at me. I look at a cake and I gain 20 pounds or whatever. You're overweight, you can't exercise, whatever that may be. But you got to understand, God placed your soul willfully in that body at that time, in that family, all of it. He knew what was coming down the pipe. He could have put you just as easily in China or North Korea or England, but for some odd reason, he packed you into the most prosperous, most wonderfully phenomenal country in the history of the world, living at a time when wealth was the greatest, life in most ways was the easiest. They are starting to kill us with medicine. But overall, you are in a fractional fraction of people that have lived through history. You're in the top 1/1000th percent of wealth in history. It's not an accident you are where you are. It's not an accident you're listening to the radio show right now. I believe, and this is insane, insanity for you, A while back, I had, this is vulnerable, gutsy. Some people don't want to hear it. I don't know. I had a vision of heaven, a very profound, legitimate vision of heaven, very much like Paul, indescribable. The size was beyond comprehension. The only thing I can even kind of compare it to is when you watch the new Star Wars, they have these massive man-made planets or creature-made planets or intelligent-designed planets that are so huge and complex and structural, it's not even comprehensible. It's sci-fi, right? It's fantasy. Well, my vision of heaven was just like that. On the inside of a structure, I couldn't see the outside, but the Bible says it's 1,500 miles tall and 1,500 miles wide. So it's either a cube or a pyramid. So heaven is this ornate. It's this extravagant. And in my vision, and I'll move on, there is everything imaginable to enjoy for eternity, including, I mean, folks, if you take the first level of heaven, the base, 1,500 by 1,500 square miles, okay? That's 2.25 million square miles. That's just the base. And then you have structures inside that layer up and go up, and it's like nothing you've ever seen, and it's made out of what I could call composite materials, but it's not. It's like some kind of a whitish crystalline, silver crystalline, whitish kind of a composite-y glass something. Okay, that's what it's made out of. But my point is this, to keep it short. There are museums there, extensive museums of each person's life, and those museums intertwine, and cross over with one another, just as your life did on earth. God's complete and total control and sovereignty over everything. Not saying he dictates everything you do, but if you pray and seek him, he's very involved and has to keep it a certain way. I don't know, but he does what he does. So that's just to keep in mind how profound it is. There's a museum for each one of us. And I don't know how long it'll take to look at it. Maybe thousands of years per person. Doesn't matter. You got eternity to do it in. It's that significant if you're one of his children. You cannot quench the Holy Spirit. You can't. The Bible says do not quench the Spirit. That means to put out. You need to obey and seek and follow the Holy Spirit. So basically the abolition of the state of things is called for by the bourgeoisie in communism. The abolition of individuality and freedom. And rightly so, the abolition of bourgeoisie individuality, independence, and freedom is undoubtedly aimed at by communism. They want to destroy middle-class capitalistic America. Okay, so 1943, I'm going to read you what's called the Communist Party Directive, and I'll get, okay. It says, members and front organizations must continually embarrass. Now, think about this. This was written in 43. A Communist Party Directive. This is like Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. This is for communists. I want you to listen and think how much of this is going on today and how much was going on back then. Back then, there was very little, but listen to it now. Members and front organizations must continually embarrass, discredit, and degrade our critics. When obstructionists become too irritating, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic. Constantly associate those who oppose us, that's the Communist Socialistic Party, with those names that already have had a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind. Let me read that again. Members and front organizations must continually embarrass, discredit, and degrade our critics. So it's saying members of the Communist Party must continually embarrass, discredit, and degrade those who oppose communism. When obstructionists, that would be you and I, not big fans of communism, think it's bad for the country, don't want it to take hold, right? When obstructionists become too irritating, again, that would be you and I, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semite. Okay? So now, when they become too irritating, those that stand against the socialistic agenda, the right-wing radicals, Unite the Right in Charlottesville, label them fascist, Nazi, or anti-Semitic. We've got Antifa out there rioting, beating people up, being violent, destructive, terribly heinous. Cops won't touch it, no one will, politically incorrect. What's Antifa mean? Anti-fascism. And what are they? Fascists. They want the government to control your speech, control your income, control your movement, control everything. Beg on the racism. They want to flip-flop things in a way you can't even believe. Think. So then they tell the communists to constantly associate those who oppose us, that's the conservative biblical constitutionalists, continually associate those right-wing radicals who oppose us with those names that already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind. you know, like crooked Hillary Clinton. You know, it's very interesting. Okay, so here are the 10 planks of communism, and as usual, I'm a tad short on time. Shocker. So here's what they do. Number one, abolition of property. Remember, they said in a nutshell, the abolition, they say the, what do they say? The condensed definition or the theory of communists is summed up in the single phrase, the abolition of private property. Just understand, folks, no property, nothing. You have no freedom. You have no refuge. You have no value, no worth. Monetarily, you have worth to God, you're worth, you know, the universe. We get it. But as I was talking a minute ago, you need, you know, there are ways to build quote-unquote self-esteem. Self-esteem became really huge, I think, back in the 80s or maybe 90s. And you had so many, you had teachers that had psychology backgrounds that actually confused kids thoroughly. Use their low self-esteem to recruit them for homosexuality and all kinds of stuff. This is why we need to teach our youth and protect their hearts and minds. Folks, whether you like it or not, teenagers have insecurities. I mean, it's very common. It's a normal part of life. They don't need anti-anxiety medication. They don't need self-esteem workshops. Knowing God gives you the appropriate self-esteem. Knowing the world, knowing man and the flesh gives you the wrong self-esteem. It tells you you got to be better looking. You got to be smarter. You've got to be a better runner. You need to do better. You've got to be better at this and better at that. And boy, look at how much that person works. I should work as much as they do. It's always looking at other people as a comparative. Self-esteem, if you look at God, gives you a proper perspective of who you are. God says, you know, feed the needy, you know, help the poor, this kind of stuff. You lose track of yourself when you're giving. If you go help people, there is no self-esteem issue. So, anyway. Abolition of property and the application of all rents and land to public purposes. This is where they've begun zoning, and they have ordinance by the Secretary of Commerce, starting with Herbert Hoover, which widely adopted Supreme Court ruled zoning to be constitutional in 1921. Private owners of property required to get permission from the government relative to the use of their own property. Federally owned lands become leased for grazing, mining, timber usages. The fees being paid into the U.S. Treasury are a massive percentage of the overall budget. So the second plank of communism, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Folks, it used to be welfare warfare, meaning this. The liberal socialist Democrats wanted welfare, everybody. They need an excuse to keep pumping the money out. That's what pumps the system up. That's what gives us enough cash to pay interest. They want debt, debt, debt. Okay, they've got to keep pumping it out. They've got to inflate the currency, hyperinflate it. That's how they create wealth for the government, through a series of ongoing secret inflation. It allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. That's John Maynard Keynes, okay? Third plank, they want to get rid of all your inheritance. It goes back to the government. You work your tail off your whole life, you save, you die. They say, give all the money back and your family has to start the game over again. They say, oh, it protects against these great proletariat families, these aristocrats. Folks, zero-sum thinking is a lie. There's no such thing. And what I mean by that is where they say there's a certain amount of money in the world, and if somebody has it, you don't. Not true. Wealth is created constantly, daily, moment by moment with our intellectual property, and our physical labor. You go buy a bunch of lumber, you buy a can of paint, you buy a hammer and a bunch of nails, and your total supply cost is $115. And you build, you know, whatever you build with it, a nice little kid's playhouse. You paint it up, it looks gorgeous, and you sell it for $3,500. But you're only in it, you know, whatever. So, heavy progressive or graduated income tax. More and more and more to the rich, rich, rich. Charge more. The left is saying they want to increase our tax rates on the peak from 39.7 to 42.9 or higher, or 45. It's not enough. Ever enough. Never, 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 never enough. It's a way to equalize society. It's all designed for the redistribution of wealth. They do not need taxation. They print every dollar they need anyway. Obama had this down pat. That the second plank was the heavier progressive tax. The third plank, the rights of inheritance. The fourth plank, confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels. This is the thing where now we're illegal search and seizure. The fourth plank, the Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment protects you from illegal search and seizure. The fourth plank of communism says take it away. If you're a rebel, you're an emigrant, not immigrant, emigrant. If you're an enemy of the state, take it away. Fifth plank, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and the exclusive monopoly. What do you think the Federal Reserve is? You actually had people back then that could read this stuff in the Communist Manifesto and then turn around and allow the Federal Reserve to take over our entire monetary system with some complete batch of malarkey. The sixth plank of communism. So we had the fifth, which is centralization of credit. That's banks. Banks are centralized, especially the Fed. Sixth plank, centralization, the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. The FCC controls the radio. Right? We've got Air Commerce Act of 1926, Civil Aeronautics Act of 1938, Federal Aviation Act, 1958. You know, the Department of Transportation, 1966. You got the Federal Highway Act, and you go on and you've got, you know, you just name it. There's all kinds of centralization of communication. Seventh plank of communism, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. The bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the bringing of, or the improvement of soil generally in accordance with common plan. Now you buy land, you're going to work on it. You are responsible to make it the way they want it to look. You've got the Department of Agriculture, the Agriculture Adjustment Act. You know, farmers receive government aid if and only if they relinquish control of all their farming activities. You got Tennessee Valley Authority, Hoover Dam projects. You got all this stuff, folks. Give it up, they tell them. Give up the farming. They've created a system now that bankrupts it, right? And what is it now? Big corporations, true fascism, Monsanto, destroyers of all that's good. Equal liability to all to labor. Everyone works, child, kid, mother, father, not God's system. God gave us two parents and children. The dad leads. The dad goes out and makes money. The mom takes care of the family. I know there's women that are offended, and that's just not the way they think, feel, whatever. I'm just telling you God's system. It's healthy, but now the system is absolutely dependent on a two-income home. The ninth plank of communism, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, which you can see that, which gradually abolishes the distinction between town and country. And then the 10th plank, free education for all children in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. You know, and there's more. I really didn't even get to the communist goals. about, oh boy, there's a ton of them. I'll cover them on Friday. But the United Nations and, you know, I mean, it. I won't even get into it. But I'll tell you, folks, it's all here. It is all here. The enemy is within. The enemy within. Now, I'll tell you, folks, in a short little spurt here, metals are alive. They're coming alive. They're doing pretty darn well. They've had a nice, consistent uprun. We're getting a lift a little earlier than ever in the time of the year. We're moving into the strong time. Don't know what's coming. Late September, October is a lot of times when we get what they call the October surprise. Stock markets crash. Wars break out. It's always that time of the year. Why? I can't tell you. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. I don't know. But it's simple. Preserve and protect your capital. There's people out there that are worried, that have been thinking about it. We talk to people that come in and they finally make that decision with a substantial amount of money to them. They're worried. Don't worry. We've been doing this a long time, 20 years. You can trust us. I mean, it sounds, you know, a little car salesy, but it's a fact. Just trust us. We've been doing it a long time. We have an impeccable reputation. You can't find anybody that, you know, has had these crazy experiences that happen elsewhere. We take care of your money like it's our own. It's important to us. We want to help you. You be a good steward. There's one way and one biblical way, and that's what we're here to do. Hard, firm assets. Do not go to brokers and get conned. There's a thousand ways they con you. Annuities will destroy you. If you have an annuity, you know, believe me, you've got a problem. If you have an annuity, you need to call the shop, get a hold of us, find a way to send us some information on your annuity. Usually they give you paperwork that says nothing. It's so simple to do a biblical form of financial planning, folks. You just store and save hard assets. They grow with inflation. They're liquid. They're anonymous. They're transportable. They're recognized everywhere in the world. It is simple gets. We have bags of old silver coins, every kind of gold, new, old, on we go. So thanks again for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Realize we are being infiltrated by the communist mentality. Take care. God bless. And I'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.